giving glory, honor, and praise to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a blessing to, again, be able to teach and proclaim the Word of God. Again, if you would, turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 7, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 7. We're going to read starting at verse 21 on down to verse 29 with a special focus, however, on verses 24 and 25. Matthew chapter 7, starting at verse 21. And it reads, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Verse 24, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. May God bless the reading of his word. As I said before, I want to call your attention to verses 24 and 25 in particular. "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock." And this morning, let us take heed to the word as the Holy Spirit will guide with the message title, "Focus on the Foundation." Focus on the foundation. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord God, we thank you for your word and the power of your word. We thank you, Lord God, for this time that we have to hear your word and consider your word. And God, we pray that your word falls on fertile ground. We pray, O Heavenly Father, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart are acceptable in your sight. I pray, Lord God, that we leave this call, Lord, encouraged to focus on the foundation, focusing on Jesus Christ. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Now, over in Italy, there is a coastal city that is named Pisa. Pisa is spelled P-I-S-A. But back in 1173, almost 850 years ago, some Italian builders in the city of Pisa began construction on a bell tower on the grounds of the Catholic cathedral there. And it was a 180-foot bell tower that they were looking to construct, and they did get started on construction, and it was to be constructed using mostly marble but also some limestone. And today, almost 850 years later, that bell tower is still standing and is one of the most famous buildings in the world. Now, this 185-foot-tall bell tower in Pisa is not famous because of its height, because there are many other buildings that are much taller. It's not famous because of the marble that it is mostly constructed out of, because there are many buildings around the world that are made out of marble. It's not famous because of even its beautiful design and architecture, because there are many other buildings that have a grander design. No, this bell tower in Pisa is famous simply because it is tilted. It is tilted over 4 degrees to the side, and because of its tilt, it's known as the Leaning Tower of Pisa. Now, common sense tells us that all buildings should not be tilted. Bell towers are not supposed to be tilted. So you might ask, well, what was the problem with the Tower of Pisa that it became tilted? Was it a bad design? No. The building design was fine. Was it due to poor workmanship as the building went vertical? No. They had the best builders in Italy working on this building as it went vertical. Or was it that they used some inferior grade of marble and limestone to build the tower? And the answer again is no, because the marble and the limestone were the best that money could buy. No, the problem was what was happening underneath the Tower of Pisa. Because with all that marble and limestone, the Tower of Pisa was estimated or is estimated to weigh about 32 million pounds. 32 million pounds. And the problem was that the foundation only went about 10 feet into the ground, which was not deep enough for the sandy soil on which the bell tower was built. So the foundation was too thin, and then the ground underneath was just not stable and compact enough to support a building of this size and weight. The Tower of Pisa had no firm foundation. But the construction went forward. Because of wars and a host of issues, it took the builders almost 200 years to complete construction of the Tower of Pisa. They started building the building in 1173, and it did not finally get completed until 1372, exactly 199 years later. You actually had generations of Italian builders to live and die without this building having been constructed in their lifetime. But before the first three levels could be completed, the tower had already begun to shift on its foundation ever so slightly. Even back then, when they were still building, when the building was still under construction, the building was beginning to lean. In fact, the builders knew back then that the building was going to have a slight tilt, and they went to the church and said this to the church, and the church thought, well, hey, it might be unique to have a slightly tilted bell tower. So the builders continued to build on an uncertain, unstable foundation. So they finished the tower, as said, after almost 200 years of building, and then they put huge bells in it. And the bell tower survived over the years. It survived storms. It survived earthquakes. It survived even wars in Europe over the centuries. And the church that owned the tower, again, they were okay with a slight lean of the tower at the start. But then the tower over the years kept tilting further and further. They tried some measures to shift the weight within the building, and they put lead weights on one side to counterbalance the tilt, but that only slowed down the leaning of the building. They did not address what was really wrong, which was the foundation. They did not focus on the foundation. By 1990, the top of the tower was tilting over 17 feet off center. People knew that it was only a matter of time before the tower would completely fall over. Just the right storm, just the right earthquake, or just simply gravity was going to eventually bring the tower down if they did not do something. The tower was becoming a safety hazard, and so the decision was made back in 1990 to close the tower and to get to work on the foundation. It took them 11 years because from 1990 until about 2001, the Leaning Tower of Pisa was closed to the public while they worked to stabilize the building. The Catholic Church that owns the tower they didn't want to get rid of the tilt because the tower was famous for its tilt, and the church and the people in the area were making millions and millions of dollars off of the tourists that would come from around the world to see the tower. The people there wanted the tower to maintain its tilt, but they also wanted it to be stable. So during those 11 years, starting in 1990 until 2001, the engineers, they completed a $25 million renovation project designed to stabilize the tower but allow it to still maintain its tilt. They removed 77 tons of dirt from underneath the tower, and they deepened the foundation. To get this famous building back to the point that it was safe again, the engineers, they didn't focus on the marble of the building. The engineers didn't focus on the architecture of the building. They instead focused on the foundation of the building. They had a focus on the foundation. They demonstrated that you could still have the same building and it could be allowed to be just as beautiful and as magnificent as it has been for years to come, only if they could just focus on the foundation. And that brings us to our text this morning, a passage of Scripture where our Lord and Savior is compelling us to focus on the foundation. Now, to provide some context, Jesus preached a sermon starting in chapter 5 that has become known as the Sermon on the Mount. Now, this sermon was early in the ministry of Jesus. After he had been baptized by John the Baptist in Matthew chapter 3, Jesus returned from a long fast in the desert where he had been tempted by Satan. He gathered his first disciples after he had started preaching and healing people there in Galilee, which is located there in northern Israel. And then the people began to follow him everywhere as he preached and healed people. The Bible says in the beginning of chapter 5 that at one point Jesus looked at the multitudes, then he went up on a mountain followed by his disciples and began to preach this message that's called the Sermon on the Mount. Now, the Sermon on the Mount was not just your regular Sunday sermon. Jesus here was teaching us all how to live life, day-to-day life, everyday life. And that is really a homework assignment for you today if you would do it. I would encourage you to just go back and read chapters 5, 6, and 7 in whatever version of the Bible that you read, whether it's King James or New King James or New American Standard or NIV. Because at the end of the day, Jesus and the words of Jesus, whenever he speaks and whatever he speaks, that is our foundation, and we must focus on the foundation. Starting in chapter 5, Jesus starts with what we call the Beatitudes, telling us what being blessed looks like and feels like. He speaks about being salt and light wherever we are, wherever we go. He speaks about dealing with anger and adultery. He teaches about marriage, divorce, and the importance of keeping our word, of doing what we say we will do. Jesus even commands us to love our enemies, and then he shows us how to do it. And then when you go over to chapter 6, Jesus, he teaches about giving and how to give to those in need. He teaches about prayer and fasting. He gets into how we should handle our money. He teaches about the importance of guarding what we watch with our eyes. He teaches us about the need to not be worried about tomorrow because we have more than enough trouble today to handle. He teaches us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, knowing that whatever we need will be provided to us. And then coming up into chapter 7 where we are now, Jesus tells us not to judge other people with a measure that we cannot live up to ourselves. He tells us to not worry about the small speck in someone else's eye when you effectively have a log that's sticking out of your own eye. And he sums up these things with what we know today as the golden rule: do unto others as you would have them do unto you. When you go and look at that whole Sermon on the Mount, it was all about doing. The whole Sermon on the Mount was about day-to-day living. It was about how to act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. And so here in chapter 7, at the end of his sermon on the mountain, Jesus told a parable. As was said last week, a parable is simply a short story that is designed to teach and convey a spiritual truth. And the parable starting here in verse 24 is about two men, one who built his house upon a rock and another who built his house upon sand. The house that was built upon a rock weathered the storm, and the builder is called wise, but the house that was built on the sand collapsed during the storm, and the builder is called foolish. Now, outwardly, these two houses might have looked similar. Perhaps they might have used the same kind of material. Both houses might have seemed nice and attractive, but inwardly they were quite different because the fundamental difference between them was the foundation on which the houses were built. You cannot see a foundation. It is hidden from plain sight, and it is not obvious to the casual observer. A foundation goes deep and is solid. Yet Jesus was saying that the type of foundation that any house has, that any building has, will all be evident to everyone when the storm comes. And Jesus in this parable is comparing these houses to the lives that people are building. The life that we are living now is just like building a house. Every person has a life to build. But how he or she builds his or her life will determine their destiny. Not just their life on this earth, but their life for all eternity. And for both houses in the parable, the storm came. And that's what we all must remember in our lives. The storms will come. A storm symbolizes the pressure of life, sickness, failures, losses, death of family and friends. The storm symbolizes those things that shake up our lives. Yet the true nature of any Christian is revealed in moments of crisis. You may think you are a certain way, but you will not know how you truly are, that you are truly that way, until the storm comes. Peter thought he was strong enough to stand by Jesus no matter what, but when the pressure came, he buckled under the pressure. It's not until the trials of this life come that the foundation of someone's life will be uncovered. And there really is really only one point to this message this morning, to this sermon, and that is this. There is only one sure foundation, and that is Jesus Christ. So focus on the foundation. There is only one sure foundation, and that is Jesus Christ. So focus on the foundation. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1 says, "For no one is able to lay another foundation besides the one being already laid, which is Jesus Christ." If you are a believer, a disciple of Jesus Christ, your foundation is a person, Jesus. So many people attempt to lay other foundations for their lives. Some turn to earthly riches. Others hope in human wisdom. Others put their confidence in science, put their confidence in personal power and influence. But the wise man turns to Jesus. The wise man obeys his word. And Jesus is telling us here that the key to building on him is to be a doer of his word. For it says in the parable in verse 24 that whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. Jesus is saying, do not just hear me, but obey me. Do not just hear my word, but be a doer of my word. James chapter 1, verse 22 says, "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was." So as I move to my conclusion, all of us are building something. whether it is a marriage, a family, a career, a reputation, a financial future, a life. And the question is, what are you building all of that on? 850 years ago, when those engineers needed to make, or I should say not 850 years ago, 25, 30 years ago, when those engineers needed to make the Tower of Pisa safe again to keep it from falling over, they did not focus on removing more marble from the interior of the building. They did not even focus on how to use cords and other means to keep the building propped up. They did not even have to tear the building down and start all over again. They worked with what they had and got to work first and foremost on the foundation. They focused on the foundation. And today, for you and I, if you want something in any area of your life fixed, if you have any area that you suspect is just not right, don't rely on cosmetic fixes that ignore the problem of the foundation. Focus on the foundation. The Word gives us a solid foundation on which to build our lives and to stake our eternity. Make sure you pay attention to it by spending constant time reading it and studying it, consistent time reading it and studying it. Make the Word a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. Now, there are storms that are all around us. We live in a tough time now worldwide. Simply going outside today among people carries a risk to our own physical health, and now it's coming into our homes as well. And we're being asked to stay at home and limit our interactions with others. Our jobs have either been already lost or they could be in jeopardy. But listen to me, your brother, this morning. If we are building on the right foundation, I know from the Word of God and from my own personal experience in walking with God that everything is going to be all right. Only Jesus is that proven, secure foundation. Focus on the foundation. Build your marriage on Him and His Word. Build your family on Him and His Word. Build your business and career on Him and His Word. Build your life on Him and His Word. Build everything on Him and His Word. I think of that old song, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ, my righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand." So I know what I must do, and you know what you must do. Make Jesus and the Word the basis for everything. Focus on the foundation, Jesus Christ and His Word. For no one is able to lay another foundation beside the one already being laid, which is Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, O God, we thank You for this moment. We thank You for this time. We thank You, Lord God, for Your Word. And we thank You, Lord God, for the foundation. We thank You, Lord God, for allowing us to focus on the foundation. And God, I pray that we all, everyone that is on this call, and all of the men, women, boys, and girls that call on the name of Jesus, that they focus not on anything but the foundation when it comes to making things right, to getting off to a good start, and to having a strong finish. Father, we thank You for the foundation, and we just thank You, Lord, for allowing us to build. We pray, Lord God, that we build, Lord God, in Your will and in Your way, but we recognize above all, Lord God, the foundation. Help us, Lord, to focus on the foundation and to do right by the foundation. It's, Father, a foundation that is unshakable, a foundation that will remain forever. We thank You, Lord God, for that foundation. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.